In Jesus' precious name. I welcome everyone again to this exciting and excellent Christmas service. I am going to speak on the subject, understanding God from the birth of Christ. Understanding God from the birth of Christ. Our objective will be as it is. First, to understand the dimensions of our God from the birth of His Son Jesus Christ. And secondly, to understand our responsibilities from the birth of Christ. Like we just heard in the reading of the seeds of destiny, that the birth of Christ is literally the most celebrated event in the history of the world. Most celebrated till date. That Christ was born and that Christ died is the reason of our profession. If there was no birth, that miraculous virgin birth, and there was no miraculous crucifixion and resurrection, then Christianity would be as powerless and non-transforming as any other religion. But we give the Lord the praise. Now, there are many things that God reveals to us. There are things about God that He made known to us through the birth of His Son. We understand God more. We have a clearer picture of who He is through the birth of His Son. And there are five things we want to pull out this morning that we understand from who God is, how God works, what God does in the birth of His Son. Number one, we understand God to be the God who brings the greatest out of the smallest. The God who brings the greatest out of the smallest. The God who brings, literally brings something out of nothing. And there are three things that happened around the birth of Jesus that shows this. Number one, Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem, Ephrata, that is the smallest in Judah. In Micah chapter 5 and in verse 2, he said, But thou Bethlehem Ephrata, even though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. He's saying, somebody is going to come out of Bethlehem Ephrata, who is not just a man. He has existed from everlasting. He's defining Jesus. He has said he had existed from everlasting, but he's coming through Bethlehem Ephrata. That is the little, the smallest of the tribes, of the towns in Judah. We saw that, how Jesus came out of Bethlehem. And when it was time to be born, of course, we saw how he went to Bethlehem to be born in Luke chapter 2. We are coming to that. God could have chosen Jerusalem, which was, I mean, the biggest and the largest and the capital. He could have chosen, I mean, bigger places, Galilee also, and so forth. But he went to the smallest in the land in order to birth his son. Now, the second way we understood that was from the family of his birth. Jesus was born from a carpenter's family. The God who brings the greatest out of the smallest. A carpenter's family. A carpenter's family that couldn't even afford an animal for dedication. They had to bring turtle doves, pigeons. That was what they could afford. In Matthew 13 and in verse 55, the Bible said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Talking about Jesus. "Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" He was a village carpenter's son. Not just that, but himself was called a carpenter. So he learned the trade of Joseph. In Mark chapter 6 and in verse 3. If you start from verse 2 of Mark chapter 6. He said, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" He could have been a goldsmith. He could have been born in the house of a wealthy merchant. He could have been born in the house of a royalty. He could have been born. But God decided that his son be born in the house of a village carpenter. Thirdly, his birthplace was an animal house. He was born in the manger. How low could he have gone? How low can it go? He was born in an animal house. In Luke chapter 2 and in verse 7. And then in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 12. The Bible said, "And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And this shall be a sign unto you," talking to the shepherds, "you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger," lying in an animal house, the place where animals are kept. If he was born, for example, and dropped on the ground, it means that he was mingling with animal feces, with animal matter. Oh! And that is the Savior of the universe. And that is the God we just heard will be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that is everlasting. So it's as if everlasting as his father. It's as God as God the Father. Yet, he agreed to be born there. I'd like us to learn the following before we go to the number two understanding we have of God. That great projects of God are contained in little packages. God will package great projects. Don't despise a divine project because it appears little, or the package appears little. Great projects of God are contained in little packages. Second thing to note here is that big endings have small beginnings. So even if whatever, you have a great vision and it appears like it is starting small, that is nothing. Big endings have small beginnings. Big endings of life, big endings of ministry, big endings of destiny, big endings of project, big endings have small beginnings. And top thing to note is that the way of humility is the way into authority. The way of humility. The way of humility. The way of humility is the way of authority. If you see anyone who will really be in authority, you will see real humility. God has given me the privilege to interact with some of the greatest men on the earth. You see real humility. Hallelujah. That's the first thing we understand about God from the birth of Christ. We understand God to be the God who brings the greatest out of the smallest. Number two, we understand God to be the God of all possibilities. The God of all possibilities. The omnipotent God. The God of all possibilities. In Matthew chapter 19 verse 26, the Bible said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. In Mark 10 and in verse 27, Mark 10 and in verse 27, the Bible said, and Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. What possibility did we see that made us to say that he is the God of all possibilities? Number one, it is the possibility or mystery of the incarnation. God becoming man. It is the mystery or possibility of the incarnation. God becoming man. Divinity becoming humanity. It is a literal impossibility. It's a literal impossibility. John chapter 1 verse 34, the Bible said concerning Jesus, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 to verse 5. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. How is it possible for God, who sits in heaven, and the earth is his footstool, that big God, to become man? How is it possible for the Atlantic Ocean to enter the Coca-Cola bottle? How is it possible for Mount Everest to become construction sand? And listen to this. In genetic engineering that we know of, and that we have seen, how Americans and Europeans and so on, they have been able to take a ship and do some engineering or whatever, and the ship is coming with the size of a cow. How many of you have seen that before on television? They've been able to cross-mate sheep and cow or sheep and something, and that enhanced the size. They have been able to take small animals and make them so big. But I am yet to see the time when they did so much engineering until they turned the lion into a domestic cat. It may be, maybe it has happened, I'm not aware. Where suddenly cow was turned into a rabbit. Where suddenly an elephant was transformed by science into ant. They've tried the opposite. Where the rabbit was enhanced to become almost like a car, a baby goat or something. But never. This is the kind of thing we are talking about. The God of all possibilities, He can do, undo, overdo, mega do, supra do, giga do. The God. When He said, with God, all things, anything is possible. That was not an exaggeration. It is a mystery of the possibility. Number second, the mystery or possibility of a person being born without a man and woman meeting. How that was possible in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 23. In Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. A virgin shall be with a child. How can a virgin be with a child? If he's with a child, he's no longer a virgin. If he's a virgin, he can't be with a child. They are mutually exclusive. Diametrically opposed. He's a virgin. He can't be with a child. If he's a child, he has a child. He's not a virgin. That is, the woman lost the virginity by the birth process. For the first time, the bleeding... If there was bleeding at delivery and all of that, it was both the bleeding from the losing of the virginity process plus the bleeding of the birth process all together at birth. Is this making any sense to you at all? That is what makes me believe that there's no reason reasonable enough for anybody not to give birth to a child. If Jesus can be born the way he was born. Am I communicating at all? Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you. Because with you, anything is possible. Thank you. Because with you, anything is possible. Say, thank you, Lord. Because with you, everything is possible. And number three, it is a mystery of possibility of a man born of a woman with a blood that is not of human origin. A man born of a woman, and that man was born with a blood that is not of human origin. In Hebrews chapter 13, but I'll tell you the miracle, the greater miracle. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. It says, talking about the blood of Jesus that was without spot, cleanse our conscience from dead works. I believe 10:14. Can you check that for me? How much more shall the blood of Jesus, without spot, 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So the blood of Jesus was a blood without spot. Now listen to this. there have been great prophets in history. Prophets of power like Elijah. Prophets that God did great things with. Like Moses. People who walked with God in almost complete perfection like Enoch. Who walked with God until he disappeared into God. And exited this world without dying. But none of them was qualified to die for man. In the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, God used an animal for a family, for Adam. When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, at the Passover, God used a lamb, okay, an animal for Adam and Eve, and then a lamb for the family. During the days of Israel in the wilderness, during the Levitical priesthood, they would take a ram for a whole nation. But the Bible says, all that was insufficient to cleanse man. So God needed a humanity that carries a blood that is not tainted with sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody born of a woman is a sinner. But God wanted somebody born of a woman that had no sin. And Leviticus 17:11 said the life of all flesh is in the blood. So the blood carries the sinful life of all. So God decided to bring his son to carry the flesh of man without the blood of man. Hallelujah. I don't know the blood group that Jesus carried. Is he blood group H, heaven? Blood group G, God? Now, for your information, the child in the womb of the mother does not have his own different blood from the mother. That is, it's still human blood. But the blood, that's why a child's blood group can be A and the mother's blood group can be O. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there is no mixture of the blood. There is a separation with the placenta through which there is a transfer of oxygen and nutrients from the mother to the baby. When there is anything that affects the mixture, either through a laceration or anything like an injury or anything like birth process, and there is a mixture of the blood, the child can die. We call it blood group incompatibility, ABO incompatibility. If the mother is resource positive and the child is resource negative, and there is such a mixture, that's the end. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So the fact that God even ensured that that child was born without the mixture of the blood was a miracle. Am I communicating at all? What a wonderful God we serve. Yes, he must come as a man to die for man, but he must be born as a man without the blood of man. Somebody lift your hands and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your almightiness. Say after me, say, Father, thank you. Because in my life, all things shall be possible. Somebody say a louder amen. Did you understand that at all? Alright, let's take the journey to the third level. What does God reveal to us through the birth? What understanding do we have? We understand God as the God of all possibilities. Number three, we understand God as the God of all flesh. He is the God of all flesh. That is what we understand God to be. The God of all flesh. Why do we say so? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 27. It said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I belong to everybody. I am interested in everybody. Look at three examples or three situations in this birth process that shows us that he is God of all flesh. First, he revealed himself from Eastern. He revealed himself. He revealed the birth of his son to Eastern star readers. Star readers. Star readers. Star readers. If you will, a bracket, probably astrologers, not astronomers. Astronomy is the study of the stars. It's a science. Astrology is an occult realm. Astrology is where they deal with messages from the stars, the zodiac signs and all of that. That's astrology. This way, Eastern star readers, astrologers, practically, literally occultists, who translate and messages from the stars and transact with the stars. He revealed the birth of his son to them. That is, you may be of the devil, but I am interested in your soul. You may have engagement with hell, or you may be doing things that are contrary to my ways, but I am interested in your soul. You see that in Matthew chapter 2 verse 1, he's the God of all flesh. In Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. We have seen his star in the east. We have seen his stars. Normal people will see star and see nothing. Astrologers will see star and hear what the star is saying. He revealed the birth of his son to Eastern star readers. When you are talking of Eastern, you go all the way to Asia area, you go all the way to China, you go all the way to India, you go all the way to Thailand, you go all the way to all those Eastern religious people, the Hindus, the Buddhists and all of that. You are talking about the group of people that was likely to have that revelation. Am I communicating? Secondly, he went to another category. He revealed the birth of his son to Jewish, Judaist shepherds. Do you see? Jewish. This way, if we say the first category was an occultic group, this was a religious group. He revealed to them. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 14, we saw, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You are a Jew, you've been looking forward to the Savior. The Savior has come, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. God couldn't send angel to the Eastern star readers. He sent what they understood to them. Now look at this. And multitude of heaven was praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, so he went to the Eastern star readers. Then he went
to the religious Jewish Judaistic shepherds. That is, I am for you if you are occultic. I am for you if you are religious. Then thirdly, he revealed himself to the king of the land through the wise men from the east. He revealed himself to the monarch or to the king of the land. So he went to the occultic, the religious, the political. Who was that king? Herod. Through the wise men. I'll show you. Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 all the way to verse 5. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. What did Herod do? When Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Can you see that? He's even researching. Not for good. For thus it is written by the prophet. But, and that Bethlehem, that was where we read earlier on. In the land of Judah, you are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he has privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, Herod was doing this investigation not to go and worship him, but to attempt to destroy him. This is the bottom line. God, it is God's duty to reveal himself to all flesh. But it is man's duty to do what he wants without revelation. Do you understand? It's God's duty to reveal himself to all flesh. It's God's duty one way or the other to tell people who he is. But what we do with that revelation is our responsibility. The wise men went and worshipped. The shepherds went and publicized the story. But Herod decided to look for how to kill him. Hallelujah. So we serve, we understand God as the God of all flesh. Isn't that very exciting? Can somebody say after me, say, Father, thank you because you are my God. Can you see that? God was no respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 verse 34. No respecter. He didn't put the Jew even ahead of the Eastern stargazers. God is no respecter of persons. God is interested in all of us. Very, very important message of Christmas. God is interested in the Jews, is interested in the Gentiles, is interested in the royalty, is interested in the poor people, he's interested. And we'll come to that shortly as we draw the conclusion. Number four, before the final. What do we understand from the birth of Christ? Number four, we understand God as the God of times and seasons. Perfect timing and season. The God of times and seasons. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 to verse 5, the Bible said, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that you might receive the adoption of sons. When it was time, when the time was perfect, we serve the God who is the God of times and seasons. This is what this means. God orchestrates times and seasons
for his purpose. He utilizes times and seasons for his purpose. The purposes of God aligns with times and seasons. I'll show you three instances from the birth of Christ. First, when it was time for Christ to be born, he made Herod to give a decree. Luke chapter 2 from verse 1. When it was time for Christ to be born. Listen to this. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. But Christ must be born in Bethlehem according to scripture. Am I communicating? If he was born in Nazareth, scripture has been broken. He couldn't be born in, he must be born in Bethlehem. But they lived in Nazareth. It is like you are from Lagos State, but you live in Abuja. Am I communicating? That was how the matter was. They lived in Nazareth, but the child was born, was to be born in Bethlehem. And there is nothing that will move them to Bethlehem in their own mind. It's like I'm in Abuja, what will take me to the village? So see what happened that made Jesus to be born. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree, okay, from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. What they call taxation at this time is like census. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own native land, his own city. So Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth. He had to follow that decree to go to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Being full, the pregnancy was mature, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. If you think that, if you understand what it means for God to make things, that's what the Bible says. When all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called. I announce to someone here today, God is about to make decrees and laws that will favor his purpose in your life, that will make his purpose to come to pass in your life. He's about to make things to work in a way that will bring his timing to pass. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Shout the Lord and say amen. Shout the believer and say amen. See after me, say, all things are working for my good. Everything is working in my favor. The time is working for me. Everything is working for me. Shout the Lord and say amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. When it was time, he made Herod to give a decree. The second thing that we see here was God visiting the shepherds while they were keeping watch. When you talk of watch, you are talking of time. God walks with time. Shepherds keeping watch. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 to 14. He went to break the news. He visited the shepherds that were keeping watch, that were time conscious. Thirdly, he went to speak to wise men using the stars. The Bible says in Genesis that the sun, the moon, and the stars are for times and for seasons. They are times and they are seasons. That was Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He made a bigger light to rule the day and a smaller light to rule the night. And he made other lights also. And these
And these are for times and for seasons. It is in Genesis chapter 1 when he was making the lights. Hallelujah. So this is how God works. He's the God of and God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So he, when he spoke through the stars, he was functioning still with seasons and times. Am I communicating at all? He was functioning still with seasons and times. I speak to somebody here today, you will not miss your season. Can that amen be louder? You will not miss your season. You will not miss your season. You will not miss your timing of visitation. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Shout the louder believers amen. And finally this morning, so God, we understand God first of all to be the God who brings the greatest out of the smallest. The God of all possibilities. The God of all flesh. And the God of times and seasons. And finally, we understand God to be the God of infinite love. Infinite love. Immeasurable love. Infinite love. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible speaking about God and his love, he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is the God of infinite love. What from the birth of his son shows us that he's a God of love? First, he decided in love to take the form of humanity. In love. To take the form of humanity. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5 to verse 7, it was out of love. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that mind of love and humility, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, he was robbed of his God status, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Who can stop there? It takes love for God to decide to be man. It was Billy Graham who said, what Jesus did is like an elephant who has a message to give to ants. And no matter what the elephant does, the ant does not understand. So the elephant decided to become an ant so he can communicate with the ant what he has in mind. That is the kind of thing. There is no way I can relate to these people. Let me become like them. Let me enter their realm. It takes love. How many times will the president of a country? Are you ready for this? Follow Okada motorbike so that he can understand how people are transporting. Or deliberately take a road trip. It is apart from security risk and all that. Let me just take the road from Abuja to Lokoja to Okene to. Well, let me follow the road from. No. It's very rare. It may be possible, but it is rare. Do you understand what I'm saying? But said, let me go to the RM. Let me feel them. Let me touch them. Let me be like them. Let me be like them. He took the likeness of man. Secondly, in love, he agreed to be confined to time and space. It takes love to be confined to time and space. mankind. That is the God who sits in heaven. And the Bible said the earth is his footstool. We just saw that he's everlasting. He sits in heaven. The earth is his footstool. He decided to be confined to time and space. You look at that in Isaiah chapter 66 and in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. I am in heaven. How many of you know the distance of heaven from the earth, if it can be measured in time? All you need to find out is the distance of the sun from this earth. Over 90 something million light years. A light year is the distance that light can travel in 1 year. These are 3 × 10⁶ meters per second. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is to reach this physical sun. Multiply that, how long it will take light to move in 1 year, and you know the speed of light, just like that. In 1 year, multiply that by 90 something million. Not to talk of heaven. That is from where his leg reached the ground. How long is the leg? How big is the body? That is the God who decided to be packed into the womb of a woman. In love. If they moved you from a 10 bedroom duplex to come and live in the kind of university hostel we lived in. The university hostel we lived in there, it's like 1/4 of a normal room or 1/5. It has, the space is almost big enough for 6 bedroom, 6 spring mattress. That was how his love moved him. Deprive yourself of every comfort for you and for me. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say thank you for your love. Thank you. Somebody say thank you for your love. Somebody say I am grateful for your love. And then, his love, thirdly, made him to agree to die as the savior of the world. When he was born, he knew what he was born to do. His birth was not the ultimate, it's the death. He was born to die as savior of the world. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. He said, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It is easy for you to attempt to die for somebody who loves you passionately. But it is almost impossible to agree to die for somebody who is offending you permanently. Bible says, for a good man some may attempt to die. But who will die for a sinner who has not yet repented? When he died, we haven't changed. Do you understand? When somebody gives you hope that he will change, you can be kind to them. Even the people that he was dying for, say, stop dying, come from the cross, I will believe you. And the death is the solution to their problem. So look at you, call yourself a liar. You call Jesus a liar. You say you are a miracle worker. Come from there now, we'll believe you. If it was some of us, you vex, I won't die again. All of you go to hell.
He said, for scarcely for a righteous man, somebody may agree to die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die. But God showed his love. He commended his love to us. In that, while we were still sinners, we haven't changed, we have not behaved like we will change. Christ died for us. Are you following what I'm saying here today? I know many of us with very quick temper. Say, look at your head. You are hanging there on the cross. Who do you think you are? I thought you said you are a miracle worker. Why don't you save yourself now? Calm down. Anything that can make person angry. That's what they were telling him. He just remained there. Say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. If it is some of us, you say, Father, don't forgive them for they know what they are doing. This is very rare.
Just lift your hands where you are.
Yeah.
Lift your hands. Worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Magnify him. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Father, we worship you.